Radio Daily for finally Frackin' Friday. And a good way to kick off the month, go ahead and just get to all the good stuff at the end. The other nonsense is just nonsense, is how that works. Hi, welcome to November 2nd, 2018. We be the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know, some Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy kinds of places. And yeah, I'm saying that we, but this is another one of those magic days because of crazy work stuff and schedules. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn. So let's just roll right along with this, shall we? This date in 1920, Westinghouse Electric launches radio station KDKA, which will later come to be commonly cited as the world's first commercial radio station. 1931, the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware announces the first practical synthetic rubber. The rest of them, just nonsense. 1936, the British Broadcasting Company begins transmitting the world's first regularly scheduled high-definition TV service, 200 lines. Whoa! 1947, in California, Howard Hughes conducts the first and only flight of the Spruce Goose, the largest fixed-wing aircraft ever built over Long Beach Harbor in California. 1954, a four-way split screen is used for the first time in television history when commentators from four regions chat remotely. 1957, the first titanium mill is opened in Toronto, Ohio, by the Titanium Metals Corp. of America. T-I-M-E-T. The mill is the first in the U.S. to roll and forge titanium, thus marks the beginning of the eventual creation of the Terminator. 1960, Penguin Books is found not guilty of charges of obscenity for publishing the book Lady Chatterley's Lover by D.H. Lawrence. 1962, the McMath-Pierce Solar Telescope, the largest solar telescope ever designed, is dedicated in Kitt Peak, Arizona. The telescope captures images of the sun using a mirror 80 inches in diameter. 1977, the identification of methanogens, a form of life dating back some 3.5 billion years, is first reported by scientists at the University of Illinois. 1999, a U.S. federal appeals court stops prosecutors in New Mexico from enforcing a law that describes transmissions of sexually explicit materials to juveniles as illegal. The court rules that the law was too broad. A Sears catalog would have counted. Ask your parents. 2000, an American astronaut and two Russian cosmonauts become the first crew in residence of the International Space Station. 2006, NASA loses contact with the Mars Global Surveyor following a 10-year mapping mission. Yeah, aliens. Birthdays, Catherine Isabel is 37 from Ginger Snaps, Disturbing Behavior, and Freddy vs. Jason. Marisol Nichols is 46, that's Nadia on 24. David Schwimmer's 53 from Friends, At Pupil, The Pallbearer, Madagascar, Security Cam Footage. Peter Muller is 50 from Trainspotting, Children of Men, Yaxley in Harry Potter. Stephanie Powers is 77 from The Magnificent Seven, Ride in Heart to Heart. Steve Ditko is 92, the co-creator of Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. No longer with us, born this date 1734, Daniel Boone, American hunter and explorer. 1913, Burt Lancaster, Birdman of Alcatraz, Tough Guys, and P.T. Barnum, not the new thing with Hugh Jackman. 1914, Ray Walston from My Favorite Martian, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, From the Hip, Picket Fences. 1936, Jack Starrett from Blazing Saddles, Born Losers, and Race with the Devil. Though he probably cheats. CBS has New MacGyver, Hawaii 5-0, and Blue Bloods. ABC, Fresh Off the Boat, Speechless, A New Child Support, and 2020. NBC, New Blind Spot, Midnight Texas. Dateline, NBC. Over on Fox, it's a new Last Man Standing, The Cool Kids, and Hell's Kitchen. The CW's got a new Dynasty, and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Freeform is showing Frozen, while AMC is showing Frozen Shooters. A&E, it's a new live PID. Disney XD, Overwatch World Cup, China versus Finland. See, Flintstress? People do make money with this. It happens. FX is showing Furious 7. Which I imagine is the entire party from... Nah, I'm not even going to do that. FXX Simpsons, My Fair Laddie, The Seemingly Never-Ending Story, Million Dollar Abe. FXM is showing the sort of sequel kind of thing to Knocked Up. It's This Is 40. History Channel, The Burglary, The Cover-Up on Watergate. Did you hear that the grand jury was going to... BBC America and X-Files Marathon, including Humbug. Paramount will be showing Bad Boys, What You Gonna Do? Sci-Fi Channel, it's a new Z Nation, but then Vanessa and Axel come face to face with the Second Elder's forces in San Francisco on a new Van Helsing. TBS Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Team Nameless takes aim on a new E-League. See, Flintstress, it's all over the place. Born too soon. TNT is showing Step Brothers. Science Channel, has a new, well, not a new, it's just a marathon of uncovering ancient secrets, but tonight we're watching the Hallmark Channel. When an event planner is sent to organize a small town's holiday festival, she meets a grumpy billionaire with the perfect estate to host her event. And the two start planning the festivities, they find themselves falling in love. Jessica Lowndes and Michael Rady star in Christmas at Pemberley Manor.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Belle supports her sister through a rough time. She rolls her eyes and clicks her tongue the entire time, but she helps her through a rough time. Chloe arrives at Rex and Sarah's engagement party with big news. He is already married, which makes this party illegal in 27 different states. Not West Virginia. Sean comes to Belle's defense when things get heated between her and Lucas. He brings a fan in case she gets the vapors. Bonnie puts Mimi and Rex in an awkward position. They are sad to learn it's not the Venus butterfly. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
And of course we do. How in the world am I supposed to send you a Kit Kat by email? That is from Stephanie. Well, Stephanie, that's a very, very, very great question. And I tell you what you do. You send me an email and I'll send you a physical address where you can use the old school mail to send it. Unless you figured out beaming or tube technology. To do that, you drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. And if you'd like to find out more information or explain to me how all the ways you've tried, you can send a voicemail over to
510-GRD-CROW.
Because, yeah, I do like Kit Kats. Not a Twix.
Dust off your top hat and polish up your brass goggles. It's time for the 10th annual Geek Gala, Gears and Ghouls. The geekiest Halloween party in the South. Join us Saturday, November 3rd at Noah's Event Center in Charlotte, North Carolina for a night of steampunk and sugar skulls. Strut your stuff and show off your cosplay in the costume contest. Test your knowledge in the trivia challenge. Or, if you think you got the moxie, enter the Geek's Got Talent contest for a chance to win a $200 cash prize. We will also be raffling off our amazing geeky goodie baskets filled to the brim with spectacular items. Raffle tickets are $1 each, with all proceeds going to benefit the Dave Thomas Foundation. The gala will be hosted by the adorably naughty Podcasting's Rich Siegfried and will include musical performances from Valentine Wolf, Matricula, comedy rock god Mikey Mason, and the Extraordinary Contraptions. Tickets and information available at geekgala.com.
Warning, the Geek Gala is not intended for small children or for those without a sense of humor.
You will not want to miss this extraordinary evening.
Hello, this is Master Shake, the ruler of your face. Whenever I don't listen to podcasts, I'm sure it would be Geek Radio Daily. Put the geek in geek.
Because somebody's got to do it. And if not him, it would have to be us, and he's far, far, far more qualified. Let's do this.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Tons of folks do, and sometimes they get made. Today, in limited release, a group of students venture into the deep caves of a remote Texas to locate a favorite archaeology professor who inexplicably has gone missing while searching for the Fountain of Youth. In the course of their pursuit, the group unwittingly repels into a break in the space-time continuum, where time passes much slower than on the surface. With no hope for rescue, they descend further into the cave and uncover the most coveted urban legend in history and find themselves in the crossfire for its control. Andrew Wilson, Cassidy Gifford, and Riley McClendon star in Time Trap. A darkness looms over ancient Korea. Murderous creatures known as night demons have overrun the country, returning from a long imprisonment abroad. Prince Ganglum discovers that it will take the strength of his entire kingdom to stop the bloody rampage spreading across the nation in Rampant. A teenage girl and her father travel to a remote toxic planet on the hunt for riches. In their pursuit, they must contend with its treacherous inhabitants to survive and escape the savage world. Sophie Thatcher, Pedro Pascal, Jay Duplass star in Prospect. Nationwide release, you got your foot-stomping celebration of Queen, their music, their lead singer Freddie Mercury, who's awesome, defied stereotypes, and just made the world love people. The film traces the meteoric rise of the band through their iconic songs and revolutionary sound, their near implosion as Mercury's lifestyle spirals out of control, their triumphant return on the eve of Live Aid, where Mercury, facing a life-threatening illness, leads the band in one of the greatest performances in the history of rock music. Rami Malek, Joe Mazzello, and Ben Hardy star in Bohemian Rhapsody. Trying to get back on her feet, Wild Child Tanya looks to get her buttoned up by the book's sister Danica to help her get back on track as these polar opposites collide with hilarious and sometimes disastrous results. Tanya discovers that Danica's picture-perfect life, including her mysterious boyfriend, may not be what it seems. Tiffany Haddish, Tika Sumpter, Omari Hardwick starring Nobody's Fool.
All Clara wants is a key. A one-of-a-kind key that will unlock a box that holds the priceless gift from her late mother. A golden thread presented to her whatever. This is that thing. The Misty Copeland, Mackenzie Foy, Morgan Freeman, no longer limited release, Nutcracker, and the Four Realms. But if that's not enough magical, mystical fun for you, then tune in to Svengoolie, because he has the story of an anthropologist slash paleontologist and his daughter who are traveling through the southwestern U.S. and stumble upon a colony of living, breathing gargoyles. See Bernie Casey in 1972's Gargoyles.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Earlier this year, we told you that BBC Studios was planning to bring more of Terry Pratchett's wonderful Discworld novels to television in the form of a series based around the city watch of Ankh-Morpork. Now we know a little more, and that plans have been expanded ever so slightly. BBC America has now officially confirmed that BBC Studios will bring The Watch to the channel as an 8-episode series. I emailed them and said, hey, is Vince Vaughn still on board? And they said, that's the wrong Watch, dude. Which is a damn shame, because I was promised more Richard Iodine in my life. You best put seatbelts on your ears, because I'm going to take you for the ride of your life. Written by the Musketeers and New Tricks, Simon Allen, executive producer by Luther's Hilary Salmon and former Doctor Who producer Phil Collinson, The Watch will follow the titular guards of the city-state of Ankh-Morpork. The dysfunctional crew emerges as the premier policing force on the disc over the course of several of Pratchett's beloved fantasy novels. It would have been an uneasy task to imagine a City Watch series without the likes of Vimes or Carrot, who get mentioned in the press release, in which they call The Watch a punk rock thriller inspired by City Watch, which means they'll get a soundtrack by the Dead Milkmen. So it looks, and it's good they're involved. It looks like this is going to be a first step into a much bigger world of Discworld beyond just the misadventures of The Watch. It's not the first time Discworld has made its way to TV, of course, but The Watch has the potential to be the start of an unprecedented exploration of Pratchett's most iconic work. No air date or shooting dates just yet, but we will let you know, because soon it will be time to open your eyes, then open your eyes again. Halloween may be over, but Stephen King keeps it going all year long, and yes, there is another King adaptation coming. And if you're screaming, aren't there like 150 so far this year alone? Yes, but you need more, which is why another one is on the way. And it's the author's more recent works, too. Joyland is set to get a TV treatment from Freeform Network, owned by Disney. The story follows a college kid who works at an amusement park over the summer, where he confronts the legacy of a vicious murder, the fate of a dying child, and the way both will change his life forever. Which makes it one of the more lighthearted King works out there, even more so than It Babies. Carrie Burke, Executive Vice President, Programming and Development at Freeform, pimped it as follows. We're honored to be working with Stephen King, a master storyteller who understands the importance of culturally embedded tales that resonate with audience on a deeply personal level. We can't wait for Joyland to become part of Freeform's offerings and haunt our viewers as only Stephen can. Given that this is a network aimed at like college age demographic and older, how dark they're going to be, we don't know. I mean, college students, they're old enough to handle things, but it's Disney owned. So are they going to pull back and make it a safe space and just air Grease again and again and again? Ooh, Stephen King's Grease. You're the one that I want to kill. The Flash, the new season's on. If you've been paying attention, you might have noticed that Jesse L. Martin hasn't had a very big role in the first few episodes of the fifth season. Because he was injured between seasons 4 and 5. And now he's going to take some time off to heal, which leaves the fate of Joe West a potential mystery. One that Ralph Dibny and his wiggling nose can solve! Martin's medical leave of absence has been cleared by The Flash's producer. However, there isn't currently a timetable for his return. He hurt his back, which explains why when you've seen him, he's pretty much been sitting in a chair. Even when the serial killer Cicada showed up, Joe just sat down. Martin's absence will be written into the show. That means there will probably be an excuse for Joe to step aside while his extended family goes through a time travel crisis. Thanks, Barry. Nora, the future daughter of Barry and Iris, his sister, has turned her back on her parents and moved in with Joe and Cecile. There is a possibility that Cicada may once again go after Joe and his family. Cicada believes that Vibe slash Cisco is dead, but any close examination of Joe's past is going to reveal links to The Flash. If the show sets up an injury for Joe, it will probably revolve around Cicada in some way.
Yes. I was wondering what would break first. Your body or your tear ducts?
I asked Tom Hardy to do that, but he was busy. Nostalgia moves us in many ways. Gamers use it to relive and restore games from their past, but that can be difficult because of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. But a slew of new DMCA exemptions recently approved by the Librarian of Congress is a limited legal right for video game preservationists to restore games that have been abandoned, air quotes, by their creators to a playable form. But the new rules come with a number of caveats that could require some significant hoop jumping to get it up and going. Typical government paperwork. I mean, damn it, release the Ark! Belongs in a museum! Back in 2015, libraries, archives, and museums, and members of the public were granted the right to circumvent outdated DRM protections that require phoning home to authentication servers that are no longer maintained by the original game maker. That existing exemption, which also allows research institutions to use hack console firmware to get around DRM, has been extended as part of a triennial review of such rules. But that exemption stopped short of letting research institutions relaunch versions of the centralized gameplay servers required to play many online-focused games. The copyrighted audiovisual content that was originally stored on those servers are still protected by the DMCA. At least that was the argument 3 years ago. But in new rulings, exemptions have been expanded significantly. Research institutes can now launch their own versions of video game servers used for, quote, administrative tasks beyond authentication, including command and control functions such as tracking player progress, facilitating communication between players, or storing high scores. Now, there are some limits to this. You have to have lawful possession of the original server code before relaunching a server. And that's kind of tough, because reconstructing the code, reverse engineering it, or whatever, is not legally allowed. And server code for online games is usually tightly controlled by the original publishers. That means, even with the exemption, you got to get the cooperation from the original makers to get lawful possession of the code. Which is a problem if they don't have the code anymore, if they're uncooperative, or if that company simply doesn't exist. The LOC has also ruled that such restoration and play of online game must take place completely within the physical premises of the eligible library, archives, or museum. Earlier this year, institutes like the Museum of Art and Digital Entertainment argued that a class of affiliate archivists should be able to access such games from remote locations for purposes such as anthropological studies, psychological experiments, or cultural appreciation. And I know, you're asking, does this include games ignored by Sony for the PSX Classic? No, because they still own Parappa. But they're making a Bishop of Battle for you. You ever asked yourself, hey, do I want to own a piece of the moon? Of course you do. Do you have $1 million lying around? Other pants. I could carve my name into the moon with a giant laser, though. But next month, Sotheby's in New York will auction off some of the only moon rocks that can be legally owned by private individuals. The three moon rocks were first obtained by the unmanned Soviet Luna 16 mission in 1970, and they were given to the Soviet government by Nina Ivanova Korolyova, widow of Sergei Pavlovich Korolev, head rocket engineer in the Soviet space program during the 50s and 60s. You heard about him. The Luna 16 mission was the first time the Soviet Union obtained lunar samples, and that was just the third time anyone had, following Apollo 11 and 12 by the Americans. The Soviet lunar samples last sold at an auction in 93, where they went to an anonymous buyer for $442,000. The first time a piece of off-world had been offered for sale. But it wasn't even the most expensive thing. The capsule got like $1.6 million. At this auction, they're expecting the moon rocks to go from anywhere from $700,000 to a million, probably more. Legally, any moon rocks obtained by NASA cannot be privately owned, but these were nabbed by the Soviet government and were legally presented to a private individual, which makes them perfectly legal for you to buy. The auction takes place November 29th, 2018. As part of a larger space exploration auction, there will be a public exhibition November 25th where the rare moon rocks will be on display in New York. And it's a shame these moon rocks will probably be again purchased by some anonymous collector and sit hidden away in a mansion somewhere. They belong in a museum! But with any luck, moon rocks won't be so rare in the future as we push humanity into space. So I need to study really hard in math and science so I can lead a colony to the moon. Yeah, that's right. Because then I can get a moon rock. Because I would be a nerd. And on the moon, nerds get their pants pulled down and they are spanked with moon rocks. But not moon. Moon rocks! GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. And stop by that website over there at geekradiodaily.com. Go to youtube.com/geekradiodaily because so much is there just for you. And if you still need help figuring out how to send Kit Kats, let me know. Send it to me. It's a podcast at geekradiodaily.com. You can send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
And you can tell us what is the worst Halloween candy ever. What was the worst one for you, for your kids? What one do you... Blah, what is it? Let us know, and we'll talk about it at a time that's different than this one.
What do you think? It stinks!
Game over, man! Game over!
Welcome to Nerd School. Nerd.
Peace out, player.
Good night, suckers.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall, I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
Where is Jeff Spicoli? I saw him earlier today near the first floor bathrooms. Is he still on campus?
I saw him by the food machines.
Bring him in. What is this fascination with truancy? What is it that gets inside your heads? There are some teachers in this school who look the other way at truants. It's a little game that you both play. They pretend they don't see you. You pretend you don't ditch. Now, who pays the price later? You.
Oh, Mr. Hand.
What's the reason for your truancy?
Just couldn't make it on time.
You mean you couldn't or you wouldn't?
It was like a full crowd scene at the food line.
Food will be eaten on your time. Why are you continuously late for this class, Mr. Spicoli? Why do you shamelessly waste my time like this?
I don't know.
I like that. I don't know. That's nice. Mr. Hand, will I pass this class? Gee, Mr. Spicoli, I don't know.